Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, in a week where we have so much to talk about.
Yes.
With all the things happening WWE-wise, I still just want to talk about AEW and like all the like backstage stuff that's surrounding it.
Again, like we covered it last year, everything connects to everything else right now. Mm-hmm. Like everything that's happening on WWE, I'm like, oh, that might be because such and such has a rumor about them that they're going to do such and such.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, all the moves that are being made right now or about to be made are people that haven't, that have been, you know, pretty disgruntled for a while now.
Yeah.
But now they have options.
Right.
Like, that's the difference maker.
Well, and just to jump into a random spot of the week here, it's kind of interesting because, you know, Dolph Ziggler is one of the big names.
Right.
And so Dolph Ziggler was a final four in the Royal Rumble, I believe.
I believe you. I haven't had a chance to rewatch any
of it. I mean, he was in that last little pack. And it was enough to the point where I was like, hey, I wonder what the possibility is that they're going to, you know, get him to sign up again by having him win the Rumble and getting to go after a title at Mania.
Right.
Because you can easily be like, oh, you're on SmackDown. Go after the SmackDown title and you don't win,
truly,
and nothing
like,
happens. We do this all the time.
Being one of the final few isn't enough to be like, oh, maybe they have a renewed interest in me.
And that's the thing is like,
surely Dolph Ziggler has been like, he's had that carrot dangling in front of him enough times to know that that's not a real thing.
But does WWE think it's a real thing?
They might.
Are they going to sit there and say, hey, come on, man. Final four in the Rumble.
Here's the thing that we should, well, it's been established. Wrestlers hopefully learn from things. WWE, not so much.
Yeah.
They think that what has worked in the past will always work in one form or another, and they will try that over and over again. You know, like, hence why, like, you know, anytime that ratings are dipping or whatever, WWE does the same thing, like, predictable every time. They'll just put Vince on camera, you know, or come up with some wacky shtick that worked in the 90s, and they expect it to work again now. And when it doesn't, they just, well, I don't know what in the world, these millennials, whatever.
I mean, I'll be fair, Vince being on TV every week is what got me back into it.
Sure.
Like, Bret Hart coming back got me, like, pay attention.
Oh, yeah. No, it.
But it went from being, huh, cool, didn't think that would happen, to I'm going to watch again next Monday.
Right.
I want to see what Mr. McMahon's doing.
Right.
So, like, to be fair, I get why it works, but I don't know what this Dolph thing. And it probably means nothing.
Yeah.
I'm obviously, you know, and in a week where there's tons of stuff to read into, that's one of the stupidest things to really fixate on.
Sure.
But it goes to the point of everything is connected to everything else right now.
Yeah.
So let's try to go in some semblance of an order, starting with TakeOver.
Sure. It was a pretty good, I mean, it was a really good TakeOver beginning to end. I think the only part I didn't really care for, I didn't really feel much about the Matt Riddle Cassie Sono match.
I don't like Matt Riddle.
I'm pretty lukewarm on him myself.
Yeah. I don't like his existence. and it's, again, I need to separate this from, it's not even that I hope that he loses.
Right.
I get no joy out of seeing him lose.
Right.
I just,
you get no joy from seeing him, period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no, like, even if he, obviously he's supposed to be a face.
Sure.
And so you've failed on that front, for me at least.
Right.
Like, obviously, but it's also the NXT crowd. And so where usually I'm like, you know, the NXT crowd can really get behind. Now I'm on the other side. I'm like, nope, NXT, they don't know what they want. They jeer everything. They don't count. But he's not over as a face. But there's the, you know, this whole new thing of like, oh, well, if you're booing him, you're invested. And so it still counts. He's a heel. And I was like, I'm not getting any joy out of seeing him hurt.
Yeah.
Which I get when the good heels, the heels who are good at it, do that. And you think about, I mean, you just think about stuff like Kevin Owens, where it's like, love watching him get his comeuppance.
Right. It's like you took joy in anything that bad happened that to that character.
Right. And The Miz is the same way. It's like, I enjoy seeing him get his just desserts. It's not this, you know, CM Punk thing where it's like, he's a heel because he's doing devious things. And I'm like, no, I like him, so I'm cheering for him and he's a face.
Question. Did you just say just desserts?
Yeah.
Is that a saying or something?
It's a very common saying.
I don't know if it's that common.
It's incredibly common. Somebody gets their just desserts.
We grew up in two completely different sides of the state. Because I've never heard just desserts.
That is not an outlandish phrase.
Maybe you didn't make it down to Fayetteville. I don't know.
In this weird culture pocket.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a good definition of what Fayetteville is, it's a culture pocket. Anyway, I'm in that same boat with you where it's just I kind of nothing riddle. But clearly, like, they have big plans for him, or at least they want big things from him.
Yeah, but it's getting to the point where it's beyond nothing. It's, like, starting to be this actual negative impact on the show.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, that was a 5-star show, but it had a Matt Riddle match, so it's a 4-star show now.
Yeah. I'm going to need some, like, but yeah, like, he's proven, like, you know, he's got this laid-back character, but when things get serious in the ring, whatever, he can turn it on. But I'm going to need, like, a little bit more of a shift.
Yeah.
You know, whenever he means it, like, whenever they really, like, need him to be serious or whatever, I'm going to need to see more of a character shift than, but then again, like, the character in general isn't great because it's just, he's a laid back guy that says bro a lot. He wears flip flops. That's quirky, right?
Yeah, it's not
the
a
end.
Character.
No, yeah. Like, that's a personality type that a lot of people don't really care to be around very often.
Yeah.
You know? At least not me. Now, there might be other people that love that kind of person, but personally, not a huge fan of.
I do not see this transitioning successfully to the main roster.
No, they need... I mean, I understand, like, he's one of those guys who was a big name when they signed him, and he's one of the ones that they wanted to kind of put him on TV quickly.
Yeah.
But I feel like he could really... It would really help him to do more character work behind the scenes, more development stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's something he's willing to do, or if that's something that WWE really cares to put him through. They might just be okay with what he has to, you know, to bring to the table. But I feel like they've got to find something more to this character, or a different character, or something,
yeah,
you know, beyond what. Is because it's very on the surface. Everything about him is very on the surface.
On the good hand, though,
yeah,
Ricochet is amazing.
There aren't enough words to describe how is Vince not like drooling over himself to immediately have him on the main roster.
I don't know.
Like, not even for 205, like, just on the main roster, period.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I'm very scared that he's going to end up on 205.
That, like, he might be the thing that puts 205 Live in appointment television.
Sure.
Because it's not active avoidance television. Mm-hmm. It's just in a world where
there's so much of it, there's,
you know,
just not enough.
Yeah.
You don't feel as willing to carve out time for that.
Right.
When there's so much other stuff to watch.
Right.
You know?
And it doesn't matter because it doesn't have an effect on the crossover.
Because honestly, that's kind of how I feel about NXT UK right now, which I have no doubts that it's fantastic and it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen like different spots from the UK takeover. And it seems like a lot of fun and it was really great. I just don't feel the need to carve time out that's already chock full of all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, the most I've watched of the NXT UK was today when I just watched Walter's debut match. And dear God, that man is scary, and it's another person that I'm very surprised Vince isn't just tripping over himself.
Yeah.
To get on the main roster.
After the Rumble this week,
yeah,
there was this, you know, I enjoyed the Rumble. I liked the Fallout. And I was like, I am. And it's very exciting that for the first time in a while, like last week and this week, I felt like I need to watch Raw. It's Monday and it's time to watch Raw. And I'm like, I haven't felt that in years. No. I feel like a boy again.
Yeah. And it was a great way to kick off WrestleMania season.
Yes. But.
But.
Watching it, and I was like, the show's 3 hours.
Yeah. No 100%.
And I know that it's going to be 90 minutes on Raw on Hulu the next day.
Yeah.
And there is this 205 Live and this, you know, UK NXT and a myriad of, you know, just not even WWE that I want to watch. And there's a myriad of like, hey, check out, you know, on Dominion what this guy did this week. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
And it's just, it was to the point, even with this, like, it's Monday, hooray, oh boy, feeling that I haven't had in a long time, within half an hour, it was this, why would I watch this for 3 hours when I could watch this for 90 minutes?
Yeah, especially, you know, when once Raw gets back to the, all right, we're going to have these two guys in a match that you've seen a billion times already, like stuff like that. And it's just one of those things where with in a roster that's so mammoth, there's really not a whole lot of excuses to have the same matches over and over and over. Like, that's just bad utilization of the tools you have.
Yeah.
But between Saturday and Sunday, I didn't really have a whole lot of complaint.
I did not either. I mean, going forward to the Rumble, I very much enjoyed the Rumble as a show.
Yeah, no, I did too. And like the venue, it gave it a different feel. And just changing it up. Like, remember when they had different sets for every pay-per-view, you know? And again, like,
you were going to make that up.
Well, I mean, it's a staple of this show. Whenever something in the set is different, we talk about it because they used to do it all the time and then they stopped. I hate it. I liked it when pay-per-views felt special just in the setting. Like, it brought a different aura. It made them stand apart from just the usual humdrum every week show. Now I understand, like, it just makes things simple logistics-wise. I work in the logistics industry. I understand.
Yeah.
But as a fan, I wanted to feel special. And you know, they did a lot with a little, you know, like the staging was very simplified. You know, they just used the dugout of, you know, the stadium. But that alone just made it feel that much more special. But the thing I did like about the Rumbles, especially the men's Rumble, I guess to the same extent the women's, both of them, it felt like, relied on the talent that they have in-house.
Yes.
And they relied more on NXT, NXT UK, you know, those type. Now, of course, you had Jeff Jarrett. And I want to say that him and, like, Hornswoggle are, like, the only, like, former
people to
superstars
show up.
To show up. If I'm not... I mean, I'm pretty sure there's more, but that
Hornswoggle wasn't in the match.
He wasn't in the match, but he was just featured in the women's.
I mean, I guess you could also say, like, Beth Phoenix was there.
Well, on commentary, but yeah.
Yeah, so one of the complaints last year about the Women's Rumble is that a good 10 to 15 of the entrants were former stars. Oh, my goodness, it's that person.
Sure.
Where,
but, I mean, like, it was the first one, and, like, these are, you know, women that probably wished it was something like this whenever they were active members of the roster.
I get it, and I don't necessarily begrudge them that, but when you're sitting here going, there's 30 entrants, any one of them can win, who could it be? Mm-hmm. And I can immediately go, not that half.
Sure.
They're all here just for tonight.
Sure.
It cuts down on the prestige, on the epicness of the Rumble storytelling.
Whenever, you know, people come up from NXT, there is an air of like, okay, well, they're just here for the night. They're not actually
I like the NXT things a lot better because those are still people with something to prove.
Yes.
Like, Molly Holly's got nothing to prove.
Sure.
she's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to do the spots that you recognize.
Yeah.
She'll get the pops, and it's nice, mm-hmm. but...
And, you know, and, on, you know, and they're playing to an audience that's already familiar with them. Now, in the NXT, this... In the UK's and everything, this gives them a spotlight to an audience that might not be familiar with them yet.
Yeah.
But they will be eventually. So it's a good intro.
It's a great intro. Yeah. And, I mean, I think there were some complaints about the Women's Rumble running long. I didn't feel that way. I didn't care.
No, I mean, it's wrestling Christmas for me. I don't care. Yeah, like, make it as long as you want.
And I felt like...
As long as it's not a 50-man Royal Rumble, we're okay.
Yeah. A lot of people got some time to shine. And I think Ember Moon's a great example of... Yeah. I mean, she's been on the roster and people know what they are, who she is,
mm-hmm.
but she got to work the majority of that Rumble.
Yeah.
She was in a lot of the spots. She was constantly mm-hmm. a part of the storytelling.
And as annoyed as I was that Naomi essentially did the same spot 2 years in a row, we also had Casey with the last name that I can't pronounce from American Ninja Warrior. And that's just a preview of like, oh, there's our Kofi for the women's Royal Rumble match there. We thought it was Naomi, and yes, she's very athletic, but she lacked a certain creativity. Like Kofi, creative, find something every year.
Do you think Kofi was backstage being like, I guess can't do that?
I mean,
so we're like, that's four.
Okay.
Oh, their feet didn't nudge.
And that is why I don't think you would make it very far as a WWE wrestler. Kofi, I would imagine, would see like Casey and do all the like the and see all the stuff that she does, and that would push him. It's like, I didn't think of that. That's awesome. How can I do something different to one-up that? I think that's Kofi's mindset. But your mindset is, well, I feel defeated now.
First of all,
uh-huh.
technically it's a John Morrison spot. John Morrison did it first and best.
Well, sure. But no one's, like, copying what John Morrison did. Like, exactly.
Except you know what I mean? For Naomi literally just did the John Morrison thing.
That's why I am kind of...
I mean, brushing
her away.
Oh, it is.
Because, you know, sure, she did it last year. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. You know, like, he's a nod to the Morrison thing. And mm-hmm. But she literally did the same thing this year.
Yeah.
You know? It was a little bit different on how she got back to it. And honestly, it was a... long jump, and I really didn't think she was going to make it.
No.
But she did.
And for Kofi's, I will say, I like the Kofi spot better when...
He came very close to having both feet touch the floor.
He did. Yeah. No, I like it better when Kofi's skills and creativity are the reason that he doesn't get out.
Yeah.
Like, the year that he got thrown off and, like, hit the rosebuds and, like, came out, and I was like, that just...
That's the one I did not like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one, and I didn't like the chair hopping one. Like, he made it to the...
Yeah, well,
the announcer's table.
I forget which wrestler, but somebody, like, you know, kind of hit him on the table
mm-hmm.
and left him there, and then he grabbed the chair to hop back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I like so this really, so side Naomi, thing a lot better.
So, Naomi copied two people that first year.
Yeah.
Because she used the chair to get back.
Well, Naomi's... impressiveness mm-hmm. in this one was the handstand, was she can do this handstand and get her feet over there,
mm-hmm.
whereas John Morrison literally jumped from the ring to the Spider-Man pose.
Mm.
But then we had another handstand and then like a spider flip up the, up the ring pose.
Where it just blew everything out of the water.
Yeah.
So I, you know, she turned some heads at the Mae Young Classic this past year.
Mm-hmm.
She hasn't really been on NXT much since. I'm assuming she's still, you know, pretty green, still trying to get her bearings. But I'm excited for the future.
But
you have
video package footage for her now.
Yeah, 100%.
When she debuts, you have, oh, hey, here is footage of her doing amazing things in the ring already.
Yeah.
So we don't need to do that. You know, like when people debut way too early and it's just them like mugging for the camera with fists.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, they haven't done anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
So she has that now. She has the footage. So.
Yeah. 100%. But, you know, I mean, then we had the shenanigans to get Becky into the match.
Yes.
Which they really drug that out. The whole like, What are they going to do with Lana? What are they going to do with Lana? What are they going to do with Lana? Like, it just, it seemed like it lasted forever. Because I feel like we all knew what was happening. We all got there. But WWE was still like, well, what's going to happen? And we're like, we know it's going to happen. Just let's make it happen already.
So, story time.
Mm-hmm.
I, as you know, did not watch the Rumble
no.
with you live. Mm-hmm. We had a family emergency this past weekend. Everything's going okay now. Mm-hmm. But I had to watch the Rumble later by myself a few hours later.
Right.
And so...
I know the story where you're going now. Took me a second.
And so basically, I had to like shut down. I was like, oh, 8 o'clock, shut down all media. And then like...
Which is funny. Because it started at 7.
Fine. You know what I mean? Yeah, but nothing important happens. No.
No.
So I shut it down. I don't ignore anything. Like, I go on to the WWE Network, and, like, I'm trying to, like, squint out of my eye so I don't accidentally... Because you know how it likes to go...
I've done the dance before. I know what you're talking about.
And, it goes to WWE's page instead of their network page. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, you know, da-da-da, just won the Rumble. And you're like, yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So I do that. I get on there and I scroll back to the beginning again, thinking it was at 8, not 7.
Yeah.
Just out of pure muscle memory. And it scrolled back right to the beginning of the Women's Royal Rumble, which I was then watching thinking it was the opening match. It makes sense. They would open a Rumble, they would open and close it with a Rumble.
Sure.
So I'm like, that makes sense. It's come. It's great. And so Becky comes out. And so for all you who watched in order and know what's going on, Becky at this point has lost her championship. Or has lost the championship match to Asuka. I didn't know that. So I'm thinking that she's coming out to get this Royal Rumble spot. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this doesn't really make sense. She has a thing. But okay, it's Becky. A, I'm fine with that. And B, if we're to the point where they're ignoring rules to put Becky in more stuff,
then
like,
fine. Yeah.
That's just another step up the Stone Cold ladder.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, that's fine. And then she has this like mega knee injury. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, milking this leg injury for all it's worth for the last 10 minutes of the match. And I'm going, that's why she's going to lose her match later in the night to Asuka. That's how they're going to, you know, make that dusty finish. Come to find out, that's not what happened.
No, it's not at all. Not even close. You were putting your brain through such strain for nothing.
I was.
Absolutely nothing.
It made so much sense to me. All the pieces fell in the wrong order. But speaking of, I am very glad that Asuka won clean.
Yeah.
That's a really...
It helped build her up some more. It really doesn't do any damage to Becky. I mean,
that
happened, you know, an hour or so before Becky came into the Rumble. And
won
you
the
saw...
Rumble.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
when she entered into the Rumble to take Lana's spot, like, the crowd popped just as loud as they did... They would have if she won.
Yes.
You know?
I'm just saying, like, even at the worry of, like, killing her momentum,
no,
she's the Royal Rumble winner an hour later. Like,
sure.
It's fine.
But sure. But I'm saying, like, even before that, like, I don't think losing weakened her reaction from the crowd one bit whatsoever.
Yeah.
And even if it did, like you said, she won the Rumble, so people are going to go nuts for her anyway.
Yeah.
And then...
But this puts Asuka in... This makes Asuka the champion and not the, I guess, Becky was busy champion,
right.
Which is good. That's what she deserves. And I know that the SmackDown Championship is going to play second fiddle.
Yeah.
A, it's on SmackDown. B, it's not the Ronda Becky.
It's not on Fox just yet.
Thing. So I get that it's going to, but it's going to be a lot easier to see a story build over the next several months knowing that. It feels like Asuka is back. It feels like the Asuka that was going into last year's WrestleMania, the undefeated Asuka. It feels like we get that Asuka again.
Yeah, 100%.
And not the Asuka with an asterisk.
Right. So Seth was an interesting choice. And I'm okay with it. I mean, I picked him, so, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Obviously, Finn Fantasy Booking didn't...
Well, sure.
Through.
And again, like, you couldn't really do that twice in one night.
Right.
That's
essentially
what
happened with Becky. I was like, well, they...
Yeah, Finn's not going to...
That's not what would have happened.
And even if there was any doubt, Brock laying, you know, Finn out like he did, you know, was a whole other thing.
So, you can tell me I'm grasping at straws here.
Grasping at straws.
But It felt like, because the worry is Finn was in the obvious, definitely going to lose situation. This is the Dolph Ziggler situation where they're like, oh, you will be, you know, fighting for the championship, but it's coming in the Rumble. Nobody cares because it doesn't matter because you're definitely going to lose because we've already built the storyline. So this is the time where you get to be number one contender. And, Dolph Ziggler is this cautionary tale for having his face pressed up against this glass ceiling for years upon years in his career. And so I'm really worried watching Finn that that's where we're going.
Right.
I will say Brock Lesnar sold the ever-living crap out of Finn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he beat him with a Kimura lock, which I think has only been applied to Triple H. He's applied it plenty of times. He's applied it plenty of times.
But he hasn't finished a match on it in a very long time, yeah.
I think Triple H breaking his arm, and I think he might have finished an Undertaker match.
Probably.
During that early Undertaker feud.
I remember the Brazilian tap match where Undertaker tapped, but to where the ref couldn't see.
Yeah.
And so Brock let it go. Like, I remember that whole thing. Because I believe it led to another Brock crotch hit.
Yeah.
Because, man, people love hitting Brock in the crotch. Almost as much as AJ loves getting hit in the crotch. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. It was a good way to end it, I felt like.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the beatdown afterwards kind of, you know, solidified the fact that Finn will not be in the Royal Rumble, you know?
Yeah.
Are
they going to do the demon again? Like,
well, I don't know, because the next night, Bobby Lashley beat him down, so there's that's what Finn's going to be doing next.
When's the last time Finn had to bring the demon out? Was it Bray Wyatt?
No. He randomly brought it out, I think, SummerSlam, or it was that weird feud with Baron Corbin. He came out as the demon, like, unannounced at a pay-per-view.
Oh, and just destroyed him?
Destroyed him in, like, a few minutes.
I remember that.
The end.
That was he had to do all that painting for that 90-second match.
Yeah, I can't remember if it was like SummerSlam or Survivor Series. It would have been Survivor Series because they're on the same show.
No.
Probably SummerSlam.
Yeah, it would have been SummerSlam. But that is, so Bray Wyatt is the last time they have advertised the demon as showing up on a show.
Right, and that was the year prior because that was the match where Bray had gotten sick and AJ had to step in from a different show.
Yeah.
So, because I remember that was at the tail end of 2016.
Okay.
Or 2017, I meant. So he's
demon
done it.
Beast, man.
He's done the demon thing once in a year.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I understand, like, you know, you want to make it special, and B, you don't want that to be a crutch, you know? Yeah. You want to get Finn Balor over.
I get that. And I also get it as the demon hasn't lost yet. The demon doesn't lose.
Yeah.
And they're making Finn Balor lose a lot.
They're making him lose a lot.
And so, like, in kayfabe, if you have magic paint that makes you win every match, why are you not bathing in it?
Yeah.
Why do you not come out full demon?
That is full on, like, troll the respawn Jeremy. Like, make it happen. Like, yeah, you got a cheat code. Use it.
Just like for promos, man, just in case somebody tries to jump you.
Yeah.
Like, you need to be walking around backstage in full demon get up.
Absolutely. Like, you can start off small. You can, like, put a little dot of the paint on your neck or something. Just for, you know, that's a safety blanket.
See how much you need before it kicks in and takes effect. Anyway, getting to the Men's Royal Rumble. Seth won. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a good choice. Like I said, I picked him.
It is a good choice. It feels a little bit like, yeah, I guess it won't be Roman, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just, okay. I don't know. The thing is they have the money in the bank now.
Yeah.
Where they can have the up-and-comer have a surprising, this is your shot at the big one, fella.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't need the Royal Rumble for that anymore. And so they don't use the Royal Rumble for that anymore.
No.
Like, Sheamus and Del Rio were the last, like, new guys.
Yeah, up-and-comer kind of scenario. Yeah.
Could this be the next big thing?
Yeah.
Everything else, since then, a current big thing has won it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my, like, yeah, okay, with Seth Rollins, but it's still Seth Rollins, and I'm happy to see him win, and I would obviously want to see him in a main event at WrestleMania, yeah. So...
And, I mean, skipping ahead a little bit, I really enjoyed that opening segment on Raw with Triple H, Seth Rollins, and Dean. Mostly from Dean, because, man, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
That, stopping Triple H from leaving the ring by, like, ducking his head out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And just delivering just the best, just one-lines. Man, it makes me really... really wish WWE had done something better with Dean over the last few years.
Yeah.
They're about to lose him.
So, getting to that.
Yeah. Well, so we're led to believe, I should say.
So, it has been announced that Dean Ambrose will be leaving WWE when his contract expires in April.
Mm-hmm. Believe it was the end of April?
I don't know what the official announcement said.
Maybe I'm making it up.
But
thought I saw that.
That's weird
that
there's an official announcement.
Right.
They don't...
Now, maybe like in WWE's eyes, he's big enough to where they're like, well, it's going to come out anyway. Let's go ahead and address it before it happens.
Okay, but Dean Ambrose is not at the end of his career.
No, Lord, no.
This is... Dean Ambrose... He's not, going on to do different things now. Like, he's done some WWE movies, but I don't think this is him deciding, like, all right, it's time to try my shot at Hollywood.
Right. No, Lord, no.
So, it's weird that they've announced this.
Yeah.
And it's weird that they've announced this when they've never done it before, to my knowledge. And... they are specifically not letting other people go. And
you say that, but yet the very next day, Hideo Itami asked for a release and immediately gets it.
And immediately got it. And WWE didn't announce it on their social media the way they did for Dean Ambrose.
Right.
Like, we just know that through dirt sheets.
Right.
So you have...
that and, like, all the superstars on Twitter basically confirming it.
Right. But where, this feeling of like, oh, maybe this is kind of a new normal. Maybe we're looking at like WWE trying to get ahead of these news stories.
Yeah.
The next day, it's like, nope, they're ignoring this one. They're only letting you, the audience, know that Dean is gone in April. And they've like taken extra steps and been over backwards to be like, this is happening after WrestleMania.
Right.
And so I'm not going to come out here and like wave my flag and declare this is a work. They're doing something with this. This is a total storyline, but it gives me pause.
Yeah.
And it's just, so your options at this point, I feel, are Dean's done on TV and he's going to couch surf for the rest of his contract.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, okay, he got beat by Seth Rollins and he got a beatdown. That's, if WWE wants to be like, oh, we got to bury him before somebody else gets him, that's kind of WWE's way to do it, is he loses clean and then gets a beatdown.
Or, to go back to something that I was talking about earlier, is how when WWE's ratings dip, they themselves just bring back something that worked in the past. It worked in the past? Summer of Punk 2011.
Yeah.
So there is that think that there's that theory out there.
That's what I was getting to.
Yeah, that perhaps this is a work, and he's not actually. Maybe his contract is really up at the end of April, but
they're
using it for storyline, and really he's just going to be coming back anyway.
Yeah, we have a take a belt hostage storyline.
Sure.
Leading into WrestleMania.
The problem is he doesn't have a belt.
I know, but he can be like, I'm going after such and such. I win it at WrestleMania, and then I take it with me to AEW.
Sure.
Which, you have that threat now. And the thing is, if Dean Ambrose shows up on TV, you're inviting AEW chance. Especially at WrestleMania. WrestleMania is the group of people who pay hundreds of dollars for wrestling tickets.
Yeah.
They know about AEW. They're excited about AEW. They want WWE to be scared of AEW because they want that cutthroat competition.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and, you know, the difference between then and now is the diehard wrestling fans these days are way more aware of other wrestling organizations than they were in 2011. You know, CM Punk bringing up Ring of Honor, you didn't hear Ring of Honor chants in the weeks leading up to it every time Punk went on the air. Because the whole thing just feels weird with Dean. Like, he did the whole starting of a promo where he was about to, you know, get real or whatever, and then he was interrupted by Nia Jax, and just, you know, no one knows what in the world he was going to say.
Yeah. Speaking of Nia Jax real quick.
Yep.
So Nia Jax was the 30th entrant in the Men's Royal Rumble.
Yep.
Which was interesting.
It was.
And it was interesting because I don't know what they were going for there. And watching it again, my conclusion is almost, are they testing the waters for male-on-female violence?
Or actual intergender wrestling.
Or actual what?
Intergender wrestling.
Yes. Yeah, basically, yeah. Can we get away with a male wrestler hitting a female wrestler?
Well, the best way to do it is just to do it and not make a big deal out of it, you know. Yeah. Just have a match between a male and a female, you know, and have it be an actual, like, you know, you hear about how people don't really care for 50-50 booking. For those first few matches for male and female, male versus female, make it 50-50 booking. Like, that's the best way of going about it, and then by that point, it's common, you know.
Okay.
I mean, like, if we're supposed to believe that WWE believes that the female wrestlers are just as good in the ring as male wrestlers are,
mm-hmm.
you have them both sell equally.
Okay. So, if you win the lottery tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
billions of dollars in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, I'm going to start a brand new wrestling company.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. It's a bad investment.
But. I know, but that... In the hypothetical scenario, you got billions of dollars. You can lose
so much money.
But you're like, I'm starting a wrestling organization,
mm-hmm.
and in my wrestling organization, intergender wrestling. We're having men and women have matches,
mm-hmm.
and you do it.
Yeah.
And you're like, here we go. I think in that case, you can do something there. You can get something there.
Yeah.
But WWE is not starting from scratch. They're not starting from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
If you next Monday announce we are going to have an intergender wrestling match, we're going to have this male wrestler fight this female wrestler, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be uncomfortable.
Maybe, but as long as, at least for the first few matches, have them all start up with a collar elbow tie up. You know, I'm being legit. Like, have a technical wrestling match. You know? You know, bring back here's the rules, no close fists, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, that's technically in WWE's rule book to begin with.
Is it?
But even, like, in, you know, in New Japan, like, it's like it's more enforced, but people still do it.
Yeah.
You know? Have it to where, like, that is more enforced and be upfront about it and be like, all right, here's our specific rules for intergender wrestling, you know? Mostly it's close fists, like, no mm-hmm. close fists. And, like, yeah, just put on grappling matches, at least at the beginning of the match, and then, you know, pull out your big moves later.
Yeah.
And just build it that way. And then just do that enough to where it just feels normal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. That's I feel like that's the best way of normalizing it, is just act like it's just a regular thing. Like, don't make a huge deal about it, which WWE is going to fail doing.
First of all, WWE can't do that.
No,
that's not how that works. If you take, let's say, you know, Seth Rollins and Charlotte.
Yeah.
And they have a match together,
mm-hmm.
and Charlotte wins. Charlotte's going to look fantastic.
Sure.
Charlotte's going to look amazing. She went over Seth Rollins. She won. If Seth Rollins wins,
mm-hmm.
in this environment, I don't think he's going to look like he went over a Flair.
Maybe.
Like, I
but
don't.
That's, you know, I mean, that's just the toxic masculinity of wrestling, period. I mean, again, like,
well,
it depends on the match.
And you have there are, you know, mm-hmm. pieces in the toy box that you can do. Obviously, Nia Jax is one. Nia Jax can take three finishers in a row mm-hmm. from male superstars mm-hmm. and come out still looking intense, still looking mm-hmm. like a monster.
But if Alexa Bliss takes three finishing moves from male superstars, it feels mean.
Yes. So.
See, that's why that probably wasn't the best way of introducing intergender wrestling. In WWE in 2019. Yeah.
So, well, and the best thing they did in this whole, if they want to do this, which I will say is a little bit of a weird thing, like, of all the strides of we need to make the women's division, you know, equal or on par or at the same level, mm-hmm. when you can do things like, you know, we need to have women's tag teams, makes sense. We need to have a women's mid-card title, makes sense. We need to have an all-women's pay-per-view, makes sense. Mm-hmm. The intergender wrestling thing feels like, okay. But the best thing they did was the Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Kurt Angle,
yeah, the mix
Ronda
tag.
Rousey mixed yeah. tag match, where they still had the rules of, you know, hey, the women fight the women and the men fight the men, mm-hmm. but nobody paid attention.
Sure.
And
especially when it came to like Ronda and Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that it was a very fine line. And we talked about this back
yeah.
when we were reviewing WrestleMania, but you can make that turn sour really quick. Triple H can look like he's really beaten up on yeah. Ronda and making it look really bad and really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And they stepped around the issue with Ronda being mostly on the attack and Triple H getting some swings and physical contact in a mostly defensive get off me kind of
yeah.
mode.
I don't know. I mean, there's different ways that you can go about it. Like, making sure like there's weight classes or something and like, you know, making sure that the, at least for this first start that, you know, the competitors are around the same weight.
Yeah.
Just when you don't want to bring in like Walter against like Alexa Bliss, like that's just mean.
Yeah. I think my point is it's weird
yeah.
to dedicate this much time to the Nia Jax thing.
Yeah.
If this isn't your ultimate goal and if this is your ultimate goal, this is a weird way to go about it.
Yeah.
Cuz the other thing is like, oh, Nia's a monster heel because she punched Becky in the face, and so the fans will love seeing her get her comeuppance.
Yeah.
You know, it is. And to that I say, Becky can give her own comeuppance.
Yeah.
If there's anybody in the world that can, you know, get their own justice in WWE right now, mm-hmm. it's Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
And so if that's the story you want to tell, unless Becky has gone backstage and said, I'm not working with Nia, she punched me in the face, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, over here saying, well, we got to please Becky because Becky is pooping out gold right now.
Right.
Then, and like, well, I guess Randy Orton is our next choice.
But let's be honest, not as disparaged too much. But if that was a wrestler that was going to hit their finishing move on a female, it's Randall Keith Orton.
And that brings up the other issue of there are not zero wrestlers that have had domestic abuse issues.
Yeah.
Like, what, like, do you want to bring that out?
No. I mean, okay. Yeah, like I said, like, I feel like the best way of, if this is something that they want to pursue in the, you know, in the near future, just have it happen. You know, just put the matches out there and don't make a huge deal about it. Like, treat it like a serious competition, like serious bout between two wrestlers, between two superstars, male or female, it doesn't matter. You know, like, just put it out there. And honestly, it would help if they do a intergender champion, mm-hmm. have the first champion be a female, you know?
Yeah.
And again, like, 50-50 booking would help a lot, you know? Like, if you said, like, if Charlotte beat Seth Rollins, she comes out looking like $1 million now, and if the vice versa, you know, does Seth Rollins look that much worse? Or, I mean, it comes down to the way that the match was booked.
Well, it comes down to that. It also comes down to the history upon history of WWE,
yeah.
where the men in kayfabe are more, you know, athletic beast monsters than yeah. the women. It's why China was such a
mm-hmm.
weird phenomenon, was yeah. she was the buck, the trend, you know, did this. I think Alexa Bliss, your example, might be an even better example,
mm-hmm.
where Alexa Bliss is a believable, you know, champion.
Yeah.
She's
champion for the majority of her time on the main roster.
Yes, she's been a champion a long time. She's had, you know, matches where she has been able to hold on to that championship through a combination of wrestling and strategy and yeah. sneaky, wireless, you know, heel ways.
Mm-hmm.
There, you know, Seth Rollins is not going to look good pinning Alexa Bliss.
Right.
He's not, it's not going to make him, you know, it's definitely not going to raise his stature where you're like, well, I wasn't sure about this Seth Rollins guy,
mm-hmm.
but now that he's pinned that champion, you know, he's a champion pinner now.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't translate like that. WWE has put no investment into it translating like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they start off with like specialty matches of like, you know, not necessarily like, oh, this is a new thing that we're starting. We're just like, this person just
can't stand
Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. And they have been butting heads for so long because if they've deemed Nia Jax as the female competitor that can take it, that can be in these matches.
Yeah.
And, you know, can go toe to toe with male superstars.
Mm-hmm.
You start off that way, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay, so you have Nia Jax be mean to Zelina for weeks and weeks, and then Zelina makes, you know,
Andrade
face her.
Yeah.
And Andrade, you know, is comfortable, but then gets beat down and, like, has to defend himself, and then Nia still wins because she's Nia Jax. And,
right.
Yeah, there are ways to do it. I don't think this should be your, you know, super goal.
Yeah.
I think that you can do a lot more by saying this women's championship is on equal footing with the men's championship and focusing your storyline in that direction,
yeah.
rather than saying this women's championship is great, but the real women face the men for the men's championship.
Right.
That you know, poo-poos on your women's championship
right.
just as much as anything
and
else.
And they're just starting to kind of get their footing with, you know, equalizing the playing field between the male and the female superstars.
Yeah. Speaking of the women's championship,
yeah.
My final thing, at least for this week.
Sure.
So we had Becky Lynch officially pick
Ronda
Rousey to the surprise of nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd.
Do we have to talk about that promo?
The crowd booed the crap out of Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Do you remember The Rock coming in to, you know, declare Roman Reigns the champion?
To put Roman over.
And yeah. looking confused, like he was hearing
like,
this
boo noise. I haven't heard it since I was Rocky Maivia.
He was trying to have to, like, place it. He's like, this haunts me from my past.
Yeah.
That's
I swore
look,
to never hear that sound again.
That's the look Ronda had, where it was like, okay, so yeah. she was cool being the bad guy, building up in UFC, but now she's the monster unbeatable in UFC, and she's just been Ronda the best thing in the world, Rousey, for years now.
Yeah.
And no. The
yeah,
answer to that is now no.
Dropping water all over the place. This is why her current character as, you know, the just goody two-shoes type character that can beat up somebody
mm-hmm.
doesn't work. It's not who she naturally is. Who she naturally is what we saw in the UFC. Like, especially when she's, you know, being competitive, when she's being aggressive, when she feels like, you know, she's being underestimated by her opponent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's who she is. This character that she's had on WWE is not who she is.
So,
and that's a big reason why she feels so out of place when she's trying to do these promos.
Ronda Rousey in the UFC had two modes. She had the, like, I'm going into, like, from, you know, music hit into the ring, had this
yeah.
Terminator mode.
Right.
Ronda Rousey also had this, like, she would be in interviews and somebody would, like, offhandedly mentioned, like, did you play Pokemon? And she's like, yes, I did play Pokemon. Here's my favorite 6 Pokemon. This is the team I made. I sure. really enjoyed playing. And you're like, ah!
She, yeah, like, very much wore her passions on her sleeve yeah. when, you know, when asked about.
And she had this joy and excitement mm-hmm. about these things, which was great.
Yeah, 100%.
And that really, you know, especially because she was this mean person for so long in UFC our, in programming.
Our arms, yeah.
This really endeared her is how excited she got about things. Yeah. And one of those things was wrestling.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that has kind of been what they've been trying to mold this character off is this person who just loves wrestling and had to do it because that's all true. She just yeah. had to do wrestling because she loves wrestling so much. Mm-hmm. And that's very exciting. But where it falls short and where it's fallen short this whole time is Ronda Rousey has never been a person who is grateful for where she is. Because Ronda yeah. Rousey as a person has never expected to not be where she is.
Right. Like
Ronda Rousey has always achieved great things, and her reaction has been, well, that makes sense. I'm amazing.
Right. And that was, you know, like her demeanor walking to the octagon is, yeah. you know, I'm where I'm supposed to be. This person's standing in my way.
Yeah.
Like that kind of attitude.
And so this... The where it rings false in WWE is this, I'm just grateful to be here. I'm so happy I get to wrestle for you guys.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm, you know, that's wonderful. That's great. But the character is, yes, I'm here because this is my rightful place. This is my rightful title.
Right.
This is how the world works. This is the order of the universe.
Yeah.
And so that's what's been missing from Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
If I was standing backstage when that happened and Ronda came back, I'm like, you're heel now.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, that should not be yeah. a question.
Your music hits, you're in, especially if it's you're coming out for a match, you know, do that look that you have and just walk straight to the ring like you're about to, you know, do some damage and not, you know, because you've been here for over a year now.
Yeah.
You're where you belong. You know, you belong in the ring. You're very good in the ring. No one's disputing that. Now, act like it.
Yes. My concern is she will not be a heel.
No.
Because I've seen this before. This is called...
The Roman / Cena effect?
No, this is, you know, again, go way back to the Summer of Punk, where everybody's like, oh my goodness, we love Punk. Punk's yeah. amazing. And WWE goes, no. We have The Rock. And we're going, yes, we're very excited to see Punk beat The Rock.
Yeah.
And they go, no. The Rock is beating everybody and winning because he's The Rock.
Right.
And that's Ronda and Becky right now.
Yeah.
Where they have Ronda to be
which is, you know, they are more than willing to recognize Becky's popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know, we don't know to what extent. And this is where we kind of like meet the ultimate match here of
the portrayal was CM Punk was lucky to be honored with a Rock match.
Right.
And that is not what we wanted to see.
No.
And that, you know, and I do not want the portrayal is Becky is lucky enough to have earned herself a Ronda match. It is, oh boy, Becky is taking back what's hers
yeah.
and vanquishing this person who's invaded this thing I like.
Right.
And as like, I don't immediately want to be like, this reminds me of the Rumble from, you know, 2013, because that's my darkest timeline.
Yep.
That still comes up these 6 years later. And I'm like, you know what really still bothers me and keeps me up at night? The main event of the Royal Rumble 2013.
Yeah.
Which
is funny because usually everyone refers to the next Royal Rumble as the darkest timeline.
No.
Because that's the, you know, last match of Punk's career
yeah.
on top of all the other horrible things that happened.
Yeah, but no, it's
but the year before is really where it started.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
The year before was like, I don't care for The Rock anymore.
No.
So we'll obviously see where this goes from here. We have a long time to go.
Yeah.
We still very, you know, likely we'll be having Charlotte rammed in there.
Yeah.
Although, again, if I was standing backstage when that intensity happened
yeah.
and they walked back, Charlotte find something else to do.
Yeah, like, I don't think they need it.
They do not need it.
Right now, it is it is, if they continue to go forward with inserting Charlotte into this match, it's more of WWE's obsession at including Charlotte into everything, which, you know, is not anything new.
No, it's not.
And yeah, it's definitely not because they need it, because they don't. They absolutely do not need it.
I can see it happening. It won't ruin the match for me, but it is not necessary.
I'm just saying, Ronda's already beaten half of the WWE Four Horsewomen.
Because
Ronda beat Bayley, you know, and Ronda was, you know, less than 100%, but she beat Bayley on Monday Night Raw. All she has to do is beat Charlotte. She's got 75% of
she's
it.
She's got 1, 2, 3.
Becky could be, like, you know, like the last one to, like, have a chance at, you know, beating Ronda. Because I mean, you got a whole other pay-per-view to fill.
That's true.
Go ahead and have Charlotte versus Ronda at Elimination Fastlane.
Oh, yeah. Charlotte versus Ronda in a non-title match. If Charlotte wins, she gets a triple threat match.
Yeah. And then have
Charlotte lose.
Yeah, and have 100%. It, again, I feel like that would, if booked correctly, could, you know, keep Ronda looking like she's unbeatable, mm-hmm. like the female Brock Lesnar, you know, and then that makes that hopefully win at WrestleMania for Becky Lynch that much sweeter, that much more over, because it's going to be your main event.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like, yeah, they might be, Seth and Brock, but no.
No.
It's going to be whatever match Becky Lynch is in, no matter who else is in it. And that's maybe what they're thinking is like, well, we kind of want Ronda to be the main event. So that might be why they think they need Charlotte, but they do not.
They do not. All right. Anything else this week?
I do want to mention that we had our Rumblethon stream last weekend. Me and Neil, Neil mostly commentating. Because we tried to do a two-player thing, but my PlayStation was not having it. But we ended up raising some money for Duke Children's Hospital. Raised $150. It's about 20% of what our 2019 goal is already. It's a great, great starting point.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody that checked us out, everybody that, you know, that helped spread the word, and then everybody, obviously, who donated. We appreciate it, and we will be talking soon about what we're going to do next.
Yeah. So keep an ear to the ground for that. Yeah, yes. We're going to have a few more of those events.
Maybe have Joel run a stream by himself for once. Have you do it.
No, thank you. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet Mondays, Tuesdays, appropriate Sundays, and there's just so much wrestling now.
It really is. You have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That kind of stuff really helps out the podcast as far as iTunes metrics go.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.